Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Last Sunday we heard how Jesus warned the Pharisees against seeking the places of honor for themselves. He warned them that if they did so, they would eventually take the lowest places in shame, for someone more distinguished than them would come. This is a lesson that we all must learn in life, and the earlier this lesson is learned, the better off we are. There is always someone more distinguished than you. There's always someone greater than you. No matter how smart you are, there's always someone smarter. No matter how strong you are, there's always someone stronger. No matter how good you are, there's always someone better. And even if you were, in fact, the smartest, the strongest, the wisest, the greatest of all people on earth, there are creatures of God who far surpass you in all ways. And that is the angels. Of all the beings created by God, it is the angels who far surpass us mortal human beings in strength and wisdom, and certainly in holiness. The angels of God are far more powerful than even the strongest man. The number of these spiritual beings is incredible. Daniel saw 1,000 thousands serving God and 10,000 times 10,000 standing before him. These multitudes are of such great strength that the scriptures call them mighty ones, winds and flames of fire. And yet we read on more than one occasion in the Old Testament that a single angel turned back a host of men fighting against God's people. Angels are also far wiser than even the smartest man. While we do not know for certain from Scripture on what day the angels were created, we know that they were present as God worked his work of creation. We know they witnessed what God did, for they sang and shouted together for joy when God created the earth. The manifold wisdom of God is made known to them in the heavenly places through the church. Their knowledge is so deep that our Lord Jesus implies that it is noteworthy that they do not know the day and hour of his return. And certainly the angels are far, far holier than even the most sanctified human being. For while we all are corrupted by original sin and daily sin much, the angels, they have been confirmed in their goodness. The angels cannot and will not sin, not ever. In holiness, they constantly behold the face of the Father who is in heaven. They worship him day and night without sleep, singing their songs of praise, giving glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne. They unfailingly do God's will in heaven, just as we pray that it be done here on earth in the Lord's Prayer. Truly, the angels exceed us in strength and wisdom and holiness. But as strong and as wise and as holy as the angels are, God's highest honor has not been given to them, but rather to us, lowly human beings. For the Son of Man came not to save the angels, but to save the lost human race. Surely it is not the angels that Jesus Christ helps, but he helps the offspring of men. And the way that Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, came to help men and save the lost is by becoming man himself. And this is an honor given to us, not to the angels. Though Christ, prior to his incarnation, is often called the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, he did not become an angel. He does not have an angelic nature. But when Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, he means it in its fullness. He truly is the son of a human being, a woman, Mary. He truly has a human nature, partaking of the same flesh and blood that we all have. He truly is a man, even as he truly is God. And therefore he is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters, having been made like us in every single respect, yet without sin. His love for us men extends even to the lowliest and the weakest among us, the little children. Now, if the angels were like the Pharisees or like us, they would resent that the Son of God became man and not an angel. They would resent that the heavenly place of honor is given to men who deserve nothing but the lowest place of hell. But there is no resentment among the angels. Instead, they delight in this honor. They rejoice that God has loved humanity and indeed become man himself. They rejoice and praise God for the incarnation of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we read that they are present to announce the good news of Jesus' birth before it happened to Mary and Joseph and Zechariah, and after it happened, when it happened, to the shepherds out in the fields of Bethlehem. And when the time was fulfilled, when the cross approached, the angels marveled at his atoning sacrifice for our salvation. The angels were there in the Garden of Gethsemane as our Lord prayed, ministering to him and strengthening him. And when that work of salvation was completed on the cross, the angels announced with great joy his resurrection from the grave to the women at the tomb, and they are there with the disciples at his ascension, announcing that he would return in glory someday. And still today, the angels rejoice over God's salvation. They rejoice in heaven over one sinner who repents. They serve us, God's people, as ministering spirits according to his will, we who are the children of Abraham by faith. For God has loved us and declared us all to be his children, even his little children. Of course, not all the angels delight to do God's will. Though it is true all angels were good in the beginning, there were some who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling of heaven. These fallen angels rebelled against God. They became his sworn enemy. We know them as Satan and the demons. Though they still possess great intellect, craft, and might and strength beyond our human abilities, they have been confirmed in evil. They are confirmed in wickedness. And therefore there is no hope for them, but only an eternal fire awaiting them. And because we have become God's children by grace through faith in Jesus Christ who died for us, the devil and his horde have determined to seek our destruction also. Satan does not want you to go to heaven. He does not want you to go to that place from which he has been cast out. Instead, he wants you to go to hell, that place that has been prepared for him and for his angels. And so he will constantly assault your soul with lies and deceit, temptations to false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. But they not only assault our souls so that we should fall away from faith, these devils are also opposed to our physical well-being too. They desire turmoil on earth, as we just sang, in church and in state. And so in the scriptures we read how the devil and his demons tempted kings to pride and to war. They tormented godly men like Job with many temporal and bodily afflictions. They bound men, women, and children with afflictions of body, mind, and soul. And still today, the Apostle Paul warns that the doctrines of demons forbid marriage, require abstinence from certain foods, and particularly tempt husbands and wives to infidelity. By our own might, we can do nothing against these evil fallen angels. Again, they are far smarter and far stronger than we. But thanks be to God, he wills that the holy angels protect us. He commands the angels, who then rebuke the demons by the word of the Lord. They do so in heaven, as we just heard from the book of Revelation. One particular angel is named Saint Michael, along with the angelic armies, cast Satan down from heaven, not by force of arms with sword and spear and shield, but rather by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and the word of the testimony. Yes, it is by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross and the proclamation of the gospel that that blood was shed for you, that Satan has been cast out, no longer able to accuse you of your sins, for they have indeed all been covered by the blood of Jesus shed for you. You have heard that word, and faith has come by that hearing. There is therefore now no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. But in place of the devil's accusations now, the prayers of the angels ascend along with your own prayers before God's almighty throne. For the angels not only serve in heaven, they are also serving here on earth, protecting us. Having been cast down from heaven, as we heard, the devil has come down here to earth in great wrath, knowing that his time is short. In great wrath, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But remember how the angels shut the mouths of the lions who sought to devour Daniel in the den long ago. And so the angels served to shut the mouth of that roaring lion, the devil. Just as the angels surrounded the people of Israel and defended them, though unseen, the angels also encamp around you who fear the Lord. As at God's own command, the angels guard you in all your ways, just as they have God's people throughout the ages. They defend your hearts against the fiery darts of the devil. As they ministered to Jesus following his temptation, as they comforted Paul during his many travails at sea, so God sends his angels to comfort and strengthen you. If the devil tempts us to sin against God's commands, so the remembrance of the angels encourages us to follow God's will. As the angels delivered the apostles and Peter from imprisonment, so they protect and deliver us from all the assaults of the evil ones. They do so every day. And finally, at the end of our lives and at the end of the world, the angels are sent by God to deliver us. Jesus clearly says that righteous Lazarus was carried by the angels to Abram's side in heaven. And they will do no less for you who remain faithful unto death. When you close your eyes and breathe your final breath, the angels shall be sent by God to your side. And there they will bear you home. And on the last day, they will obey their Lord God's command once more. For at his very trumpet call, they will gather you together, along with all the elect from the ends of the earth, to dwell in paradise forevermore. Scripture is given for our comfort, for our encouragement. And that is most certainly true when it comes to the doctrine of the holy angels that is taught there. And from this doctrine, we also should consider how we, as Christians, must live in response. In the first place, then, we should praise and thank God for the great love and honor that he has shown to us, chiefly in sending his Son, not for the angels, but for us poor sinners, but also in commanding his angels to minister to us. Therefore, we do well to laud and magnify God's glorious name with the angels and the archangels, as we do here in the divine service. Consider how often the songs of the angels are sung by us here. The Christmas song of praise and the Gloria in Excelsis, glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men. And when we sing the Sanctus, holy, 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 that same song that the prophet Isaiah heard when he received his vision of heaven long ago. We should also pray to God that he would continue to command his angels concerning us. And so we do in the morning and evening prayers, asking that God's holy angel would be with us, that the evil foe may have no power over us. Without a doubt, this prayer is heard and answered by God, who never fails to keep his promises to us. And again, this should be no small comfort to us, particularly as we pray for our own little children. We know in this world how many kinds of dangers our children face in this fallen world. But God wills that we be reassured and comforted, knowing that the holy angels surround them, guard, protect, and deliver them far better than we ever could. Furthermore, we should strive not to offend the angels with our sins. As repentance brings them joy, unrepentance causes them sorrow. We fool ourselves that if we think that we can keep certain sins hidden and unknown, the Lord God knows our sins and the holy angels do too. And if they are ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit in salvation, if they encamp around those who fear the Lord, then we ought to be careful lest sin and unrepentance drive out our faith and rob us of salvation. For this very reason, our Lord Jesus very clearly and vividly admonishes us not to allow anything, even our very hands and feet and eyes, to lead us away from him into the hell of fire. Instead, we ought to follow the example of the angels in humility and faithfulness. As we heard today, when the disciples asked Jesus, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" he put a child in the midst of them and said, "Unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This childlike humility is seen in the angels. Again, they are the greatest of God's creatures, and yet they do not begrudge the high honor that has been given to us poor, sinful human beings, that the Son of God should become man like us. Rather, they rejoice in this mercy, and they serve his brothers and sisters, you and me, even the littlest and weakest of children. Truly, the angels exemplify these closing words of our Lord Jesus Christ from last Sunday's gospel. "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." Humility, as we've heard over the last couple of weeks, is one of the defining characteristics of the kingdom of God. It begins with our Lord and King Jesus Christ, who for a little while was made lower than the angels and is now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, by which he destroyed the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. As we have been set free from sin and death and the power of the devil by his blood, as we have been called by the gospel to be his own, we are to have his mind among ourselves, living in humility, in love and service toward one another. For Jesus says, "Whoever humbles himself like a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And in Christ's kingdom, his ministers, the angels, who are mighty winds and flames of fire, rejoice and are glad to serve their Lord humbly by serving his people, by serving you. Therefore, for this, the gift of the holy angels and the blessed doctrine of comfort we find, we thank and praise God and look forward to that glorious day when we, with the angels, will shine like the stars above and see the face of our Father who is in heaven, where we will dwell forever and ever. In Jesus' name, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.